couple from the Dream series. Dream one. That bird decides to eat your wings, but he tells you it's because you are growing new ones. Tells you in order to get new ones, the old ones have to be eaten, that you have to be eaten alive. That your old wings must be chewed, and that is why you're in so much pain, and you want that bird to stop pulling, pulling, pulling. But you know you are ready for new wings, so you let that bird chew each feather. Decide to ask that bird when he will be done eating you alive. When will he be done grounding you? And you are surprised when the bird says, he's almost done. And you see blood on both sides of your body, and you know he must be right. And there you are, bloody and wingless, but happy. All your pain and Lord help worth it, and yes. And that bird, who is as God is to you right now, says, you get to pick out new wings. Says you can have any set you want as long as you realize one day they will be eaten away too. And you are okay with this notion of flying and then being grounded, and flying and then being grounded, of flying and then being grounded, being eaten alive and floppy, and are modest one, and you pick the medium-sized wings because you don't need giant wings to make yourself fly. And that bird tells you he has to chew on you, that you have to sit through the gnawing and breaking until they are on just right. And you want to cry and say, this again? But you are a big girl, and there is no time to tantrum or two-year-old about what you are up against. Pulling, pulling, pulling. Two. You run with only half your wings grown in, and like most hairs growing back, the surface of your skin is itchy, and you know that to scratch it is not really scratching it, but merely making the feeling delayed and more itchy. You find running faster can sometimes make the itch feel less wool and more like poison oak. You keep asking yourself, which one is better? Which one is tolerable? Which one can hide? And you realize as you are running, your feet have become disconnected from your legs, and your legs have become disconnected from your hips, and your hips have begun waving goodbye to your pelvis. And there you are, just all top and no bottom, itching in the middle of a street, which looks like a mashup between honey and lava. Just when you think the jig is up, this is the last straw. That's all she wrote. Your womb sings a song about. And you feel the parts of yourself rejoining. Only your feet have chosen to your heart. Your heart has chosen to your womb, and your womb has chosen to your hair. All the tubes wrapped tightly in a round bun. All the eggs nesting behind your ear. Three. The woman has decided her teeth are getting in the way of what she's feeling. She decides with a full heart and open mouth that she will nudge them out two by two. She is thinking of Noah's Ark, how the teeth all look like tiny animals, about how the animals must feel so happy they have been set free, about what it feels like to be set free, about blood creeping down her lips, about what blood might look like mixed with white paint, pink, free. And she does not like pink, and you see this woman sitting across from you in the dream, and you want to ask her what happened to her soul, and you see it hanging from her back and her head, and she wants to tell you her soul is not dead but sleeping. But you can clearly see her soul is obviously dead. No soul would dare stick with a woman nudging teeth two by two. No soul would stay for multitudes of pain and anguish. What kind of soul would do that? And just when you decide to break the news to her that her soul is dead, you find that you are on the back of this woman, that you are leaning over and sleeping, that the woman's hair tickles the back of your soul neck, and you know that souls can travel but only briefly, and you are back, leaning, tilting, smelling paint and blood, nudging. Four, there is a woman in your bed absent of eyes. This is what you think at first, absent of eyes. There is a woman in your bed absent of mouth. This is what you think second, absent of mouth. The woman in your bed, absent of eyes and mouth, looks at you and speaks. You cannot process this looking and speaking. This woman was absent, absent of eyes, absent of mouth. This woman takes her hands and puts them over her heart, which is not her heart, but a purple casket glowing. And you see that woman and you look closer in the way you look closer, the way you do in a dream. Look closer as if close is not too close and close is close enough and enough is not as close as you would like it to be. And the woman tells you the thing you are most afraid to hear, nothing. And you lay there to look at that woman and she lays there to look at you and you and that woman and those sheets are dead. And you feel like maybe in this dream you are being reborn and death is the way to be reborn. And that eye on the woman who is absent of eyes blinks a baby. That baby cries a heart and you hold that heart and that bloody baby and you see. And you almost decide not to stammer this dream, almost decide that this dream cannot be kin to the other dreams. Mother, that baby calls you mother and you think, how can that baby talk when that baby is newborn? And you remember, oh yeah, it's just a dream and anybody can do anything in a dream. You realize this is coming from your dead toes to your dead forehead, that anything can happen in a dream. And you tell that baby to shut up. Say, shut up, baby. How dare you call me mother? How dare you have a heart? How dare you? And that dared baby with the shut up heart finally, and that woman absent of eyes blinks that baby back inside her pupils. But the heart beats on the dead sheets, and those sheets somehow come alive and become trees. And there you are now, a tree trunk. And some people are making out on your face. And you want to tell them you are not absent of eyes or mouth, that you can smell their love through that woman's black bow tie, that you can smell the fear through that other woman's hair. There is one woman absent of fear. There is one woman absent of bravery. Woo!